Our scripture reading today is from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and words before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And they came near the village to which they were going. He walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they took what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Friends are making their way from one place to another, a place of hope that had been turned into despair, a place that meant death and danger. And now it held these unbelievable tales of women. And so they're moving to another place, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Two followers of Jesus, getting out of Jerusalem, and as they're walking, remembering their experiences and what they had heard, and then the risen Jesus joins them and asks them, "What are you talking about? What are you conversing about? What are you remembering?" And they say, "Are you the only one who was in Jerusalem and didn't know what happened?" And they recount their experiences and what they've heard. And they wondered how the one that they thought was the Messiah, that all this could have happened to him. And Jesus responds by opening up the the Scriptures to them. If the world of the disciples had been turned upside down when they began to follow this man and listen to his teachings, you know, just think about the stories that some of the apostles just laid down their nets when Jesus called them. If their lives had been so changed by his life and his teachings, just think about how their world must have been shaken and shattered by his death. Now, this account is on Easter Sunday. They haven't yet processed all that had happened. How the one they claimed was the Messiah could have been crucified. And now they're beginning to hear these stories from the women that the tomb was empty and Jesus had risen. The resurrection appearances are powerful stories of community, of believers, of doubters, of strugglers, gathering together and separating and coming back together to share memories, to tell stories of their own experiences, and then to begin to hear these stories that Jesus had risen and he'd been in the midst of various groups of people. And then, even like people of faith today, they began to explore the Scriptures to help them to understand what had happened and to come to a new understanding of faith. And they sit down at table together and break bread. And often more than just an intellectual understanding, they come to see with their hearts as well. Hospitality is a major theme in the biblical witness. And we can hear this story from Luke's gospel as one of hospitality and its deeper meaning. Hospitality is not just a dutiful sharing. It's not just having a good fellowship hour downstairs. Hospitality is openness to change and a welcoming of new things that change brings. Hospitality is creating a safe place for the stranger. Hospitality and openness make transformation possible, especially when brought to us from unexpected places or by unlikely people, the stranger in our midst. If according to the Gospels, especially from Matthew, if we know that we see Jesus in the least of these, we have a clear mandate to share our table and its abundance with all who are hungry, whether physically or spiritually. Sometimes when we attempt to practice hospitality, we neglect that second part, that spiritual sharing. Anthony Robinson wrote about the church in a not, well, hear the words. He writes, "People want to experience the divine, the sacred, the holy. They are dying for want of grace, wonder, and mystery, and not for want of bylaws or committees or sign-up sheets. At least they don't want those things instead of God." Close quotes. Well, thank goodness this morning we don't have a sign-up sheet as we're sharing that quote. But it does cause us to think about, in our chuckle, what it is we're really about when we practice hospitality. For hospitality has the potential to transform not only our individual lives, but our lives as a community of faith. If it opens our eyes even more than it opens our doors of the church. It's not simply a matter of being nice. Hospitality is justice and generosity made real, enfleshed, embodied. Hospitality is a spiritual practice that requires both discipline and brings growth. As the United Church of Christ strives to extend and embody extravagant hospitality, where is the possibility of transformation within our church, within our congregation, within our lives? How is God still speaking to us? In the simple breaking of the bread, the sharing of story, the study of Scripture? Perhaps we in the church can, in the faithful practice of hospitality, help to have a more civil discourse in a nation and a world that seems to be increasingly polarized. As we heard and I prayed in Ben's prayer, we're not all of the same mind on lots of issues, including marriage equality. But we can be of the same heart. when that heart is centered in Jesus Christ. It can be hard to practice hospitality because it means welcoming all of God's children along with their hopes and their dreams and their challenges and their beliefs, which sometimes, oftentimes, are not the same as ours. And as we practice hospitality, it's more than a superficial openness. It needs to be open to the other. And the gift, as well as the challenge, that they can bring to us. Maybe if we could see ourselves and those we considered the other, the unlikely, in new ways, we can begin to practice a new humility and graciousness in sharing the blessings of God more graciously and more equitably. We are in the community of faith called to support, if you will, the opening of all eyes, because we're all companions on the journey. I was talking with Margie before the service this morning as she was practicing the anthem. And we were both recalling our early experience with Latin in high school. And think about companion. That word is rooted in the words for bread and with. As we come to the table this morning, we know again and experience again the presence of our risen Christ. We're on this journey of faith together, in companionship with each other and with our risen Christ. Just as the two disciples knew him in the breaking of the bread and recognized him, so it is as we share together, both in fellowship downstairs and around this table in the breaking of the bread. We're in companionship with each other and with the Christ. So we come to be renewed, refreshed, strengthened, and opened up to the practice of an extravagant hospitality that welcomes all people.